So we have some guests with us this morning, and Joshua Kennard and Olivia Kennard. Joshua is the son of a friend of mine, and so I'm just going to assume that his dad's a lot older than me, because now his son is here to minister with us, and he has served at Riverside Community Church. That's where his dad is the lead pastor in Oakmont. And you served as associate pastor, right? Or creative arts pastor, okay? And so they felt the call to go to England as missionaries. And so they're itinerating and they're doing the work to raise the funds necessary to get over there. And so I'm excited. Europe is a dark place spiritually, you know. It's one of the darker areas in our globe. It used to be a strong Christian area and it's gone very dark. And that's always been an area on my heart, is that the Lord would rekindle the light that once was there. And we're going to pray and hope that the Kennards will be part of what takes place there in England. So Joshua and Olivia, if you would come, would you give them a hand?
Can you hear me? Yes? Sorry, we're soft-spoken. We're quiet people. It is such a blessing to get to be here with you all this morning. Thank you, Pastor Danny, for letting us come and speak this morning. Like he said, my name is Joshua. This is my wife, Olivia. We have our 1.5-year-old back in the nursery there. His name is Silas, and you probably heard him because cars is all the rage for him right now, so it's boom, boom, just all of the time. Everything is boom, boom. And then we are currently expecting our second child in April, April 1st, actually. Thank you. But we are missionary associates with the Assemblies of God to Liverpool, England. It has been a wild journey so far as we've started this process. We started in October of last year, so we're coming up on a year. And it is genuinely a joy to get to be with you. Before we jump into our text, though, we want to give just a little bit of context as to who we are, get to know, or let you get to know us a little bit better, and then hopefully after service we can get to know you a little bit better. I am a third-generation pastor. I have the blessing of being that. My grandfather was a Methodist minister. My dad is an AG pastor, and now we are pastors at the same church. I was called into ministry in like early high school-ish time, and that has looked like worship ministry up until the past couple of years. And for the last 4 years, I've gotten to serve as the creative arts pastor at Riverside.
Josh and I come from very different backgrounds. He is a third-generation pastor. I am a first-generation believer in my family. And so, yes, both are so needed. So if your story is that you are a third-generation pastor, all my family are Christians, your story is needed and your call is needed. And I just admire the legacy of that, but also just the faithfulness of God in both Josh and I's stories. It looks very different. I did not grow up in a Christian home. I wasn't really exposed to the gospel. Occasionally a Christmas and Easter service, but very rarely. I would attend with my grandparents. But for the most part, grew up without an understanding of who God was and what his word had to say. And so it wasn't until I was 13 years old, I was attending a new school. We moved a lot as a family. I was attending a new school that happened to be a Christian school attached to a church, and I was nervous about another new school doing this all over again. And so I'm the oldest of four. I convinced my mom to lug all four kids on a Sunday morning, her day off, to go to church so that I could sit in the balcony and scope it out and get the lay of the land of my new church school. They were attached to one another. And it was in the balcony where I was hoping to go unnoticed. I was hoping to just get to observe that God met me for the very first time, that I heard what he had to say, and it truly, I truly understood it. It was like the news I'd been waiting to hear my whole life. Despite the fact that I didn't grow up in a Christian home, things were really hard. There was a lot of addiction, a lot of just dysfunction and abuse and things like that in my story. And so I had cried out to God many times because things were just really hard. But I didn't know that he had heard me until that moment. I knew that he had heard every cry, every prayer for healing and for hope, just to keep going, and that things would somehow change. But for the first time, I also heard that he had something to say to me, that he had a response. It wasn't just me talking out in the open. And so over the next year, my teachers, my wonderful teachers, began to disciple me and teach me that God wanted to speak to me through his word and through his people and through his spirit. And so it's been a long journey of hearing the voice of God and learning to follow him and learning to obey him. A year after I accepted Christ, at this very same church and school combo, I started attending youth group regularly and just kind of soaking up as much as I could. I was like, I don't know. I didn't realize how much I didn't know. I felt at a disadvantage. I had read through the New Testament so many times, and still I feel like I'm asking Josh, I'm like, does this make sense? When I'm reading, I'll ask him all my Bible trivia questions, because I'm like, he grew up with that really firm foundation of that. And so I just soaked up as much as I could. And it was almost a year to the date after I went on my very first missions trip. And following that trip, felt that I heard the voice of God say that this was what I was going to do with my life and that it was going to be a long-term call. And so it's been a long walking out of that. I think as a middle schooler, I thought this was going to happen like when I turned 18 and I was going to be doing it. But God had something he wanted to do in me before he sent us out to do what we were made to do. He's always who over do. He wants to transform who we are so that we can do what we were called to do. And so we as a family, we're called to reach the skeptic. We're called to reach those who might not be physically hard to reach. England, not that hard to get to, not that different of a language. But there are so many people that are not wanting to hear. And so that's what we feel called to go and to reach.
You can go to the next slide there. I think it's a picture of, that's our son. He doesn't look like that anymore. He's got curly hair all of a sudden. You can go to the next one. Him with his football. You can go again and again. There we are. So this is the United Kingdom minus Ireland. You've got Scotland on the top, Wales on the side, and then where that's pointing, that's where Liverpool is. So that's where we're heading. London is sort of like, what is that, southeast, yeah, southeast of there. You can go to the next one. So that skepticism that we talk about, it creates a very desperate need for the gospel and a culture. A secular culture is not something that we are unfamiliar with here in the United States, but the difference comes in access when we go into Europe. People do not have access to a gospel presentation. They do not know people who know Jesus. They don't actually know people who know people who know people who know people who know Jesus. With less than 5%, you can go to the next slide, with less than 5% of the nation attending church, they're the fourth most secular country in the world behind China, Sweden, and the Czech Republic there. This post-Christian context is in desperate need of revival. I loved what you said. The fire needs to be lit on the altar of Europe again and in England. And we believe that the people are ready, that they are hungry for it. They need to remember the ancient gospel that Jesus is our Lord, and they need to remember that they truly never walk alone.
The gospel is countercultural to secularism. We know that. We live in an environment where that is true, and it's often even offensive. Secularism, it's a commonly used word, but I often feel that it's misunderstood a little bit. I misunderstood it until we did secular people studies, and basically we sometimes think that secularism is just atheists or agnostics, but really secularism at its core is self at the center. It is, I can make my own kind of religion, so everybody has kind of a little bit different of a religion. So when you study Buddhism, it's like how to minister to Buddhists. Secular people might come with a very unique set of beliefs and understanding, and self is at the center, so whatever I feel is what must be true in secularism. And so this makes it quite challenging. I'm sure Pastor Danny can agree that this is the current environment of our own country, and so it is even more so. They're just slightly ahead of where the U.S. is in this, of just how ingrained it is in culture. But I want to take a moment to allow us to use the imaginations that God has given us. So if you will, close your eyes for just a moment. I know we just met. I promise nothing weird. And take a deep breath and imagine yourself as a living house. God comes in to rebuild that house. At first, perhaps, you can understand what he's doing. He is getting the drains right and stopping the leaks in the roof and so on. You knew that those jobs needed doing, and so you are not surprised. But presently, he starts knocking the house about in a way that hurts abominably and does not seem to make any sense. What on earth is he up to? The explanation is that he is building quite a different house from the one you thought of. Throwing out a new wing here, putting on an extra floor there, running up towers, making courtyards. You thought you were being made into a little cottage. But he is building a palace. He intends to come and live in it himself. C.S. Lewis, Mere Christianity, you can go ahead and open your eyes. I don't know if you remember what life was like before you came to know Jesus. I do very well. It was most of my childhood and into my early teen years. But there were some leaks, and I could have identified those. Some were caused to me, and some were just my own sinful nature. There were leaks in the roof, and we just want to patch those up in whatever ways we can find. And if we don't have the answer that it's Jesus, we're going to keep fixing that roof leak that just, we're putting a Band-Aid on what needs to be a replacement. And so we so desperately want to see a nation that has labeled Christianity as antiquated and the Bible as irrelevant fall in love with Jesus. We want to see them allow God to transform their lives, to go from this little cottage into this beautiful palace. Because technically, they can keep patching it up. They can keep putting things that Band-Aids on where really it needs a true remodel. I don't know if you've ever redone a bathroom, but it usually looks worse before it looks better. Once you demo and you're like, what did we do? What did we do? This does not look good. But some really foundational things needed fixing. And so God wants to do that. And he's faithful to heal and restore and redeem what was broken. And he's going to continue to do that in our lives. And he is not done doing that with you. No matter if you're young and you're the youngest one in here or you're the oldest one in the room, he is not done doing that for you. And so we just believe that and just stand confident in that. And I love how C.S. Lewis said it. He said, but presently he starts knocking the house about in a way that hurts abominably and does not seem to make any sense. It can be good and still hurt, like Pastor Danny said. We can endure suffering and be like, God, I said yes. I said yes. I'm walking in obedience. Or maybe we're not, and that's why it hurts abominably. But even in the ways of God, even in the will of God, it can hurt. And you're like, Lord, I said yes. I told you I would do what you had called me to do. I would be faithful with the little you had given me, and I am. And it still is hard, and it still hurts. And to that, I just say, he is with you, and he is bringing you through, and he is building a palace. And sometimes, just the way that God wired us, that this imagination that he's given us is like, he is building a palace, and it takes some hard work, and it takes some refining. It takes some demo before we can see that new wing that he is throwing out. So allow him to continue to work in you, and he will be faithful to you, and just stand confident in that.
With that being said, let's turn our attention to the scriptures. If you want to get out your Bible, if you're old school like me and you carry around a physical one, we're going to be in Mark chapter 8. If you use your digital scriptures, that's good too. As we turn there, I want to give a little bit of context. Mark is the first biography of Jesus that we have recorded in history. It is the Apostle Peter's remembering of Jesus' life and ministry, written down by a guy named Mark. And in chapter 8, we pick up in the middle of a block of Jesus' teachings, miracles, and accounts of the things that he did. I want to imagine for a moment how Peter's feeling as he's dictating this to Mark, and Mark is writing it down. The church is currently exploding across the globe in a way that the 12 probably never thought it would, and he is desperately trying to get this information of who Jesus was and how he lived his life and how Christians are supposed to act to everybody that he can, because people are finding Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit and they have got no idea what to do with their life now. And so we find Peter here writing down the account of his life with Jesus. Before we read, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you and we are grateful to stand in your presence this morning. Lord, would you please speak to us through your scriptures? Help us to understand you better. Lord, work through me. Help me to speak clearly. And would you fill us, Lord, with your spirit and help us to love one another well? It is in your name alone, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. Amen. So if you're able, if you wouldn't mind standing for in honor as we read God's word, we're in Mark chapter 8, verse 34 and 35. You can go to the next slide. I think I have it for up here. Next one. There we go. Awesome. Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the sake of the gospel will save it." You can have a seat. We're very grateful this morning to get to be here in the middle. You guys are in the middle of the Rest series, is that right? Yeah, we're really grateful to be here in the middle of this series because this is something that's very important to us and to our family. We have been working on integrating a Sabbath into our lives for the past 2 years. In fact, our Sabbath was yesterday. We do Saturdays. And so we're very grateful to be here for that. We're going to focus on two things this morning: losing ourselves and why that's essential to following Jesus, and how this brings us true rest. That first part of discipleship. Let's start by looking at what it means to be a disciple. In verse 34, Jesus says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." So these three things, that is what a disciple does. But what is a disciple? What is a disciple? Who is a disciple? That word disciple is mathetes in the Greek. Can you say mathetes? Mathetes. Oh, that was like a 2 out of 10. Come on, let's do that again. Mathetes. Thank you. That was great. And it simply means a learner. It's the active form of a person who learns. And it begs the question, what is Jesus hoping that we will learn? And I believe you've already looked at this, but in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This yoke that Jesus is talking about learning to take on is a metaphor. It's an ancient agrarian, is that the right word, for farming, agrarian thing that would yoke two oxen, connect them together so that you could plow a field. And it's also a metaphor that ancient Hebrew rabbis and current Hebrew rabbis would use to describe how they read scripture, how they interpreted it, how they applied it, and how they integrated into how they lived their lives. And this was what they would teach their disciples. So when Jesus is teaching his disciples and saying, "Learn from me," he is saying, "Read scripture like me." He's saying, "Interpret scripture like me." He's saying, "Apply scripture like me." And he is saying, live your life like me, integrated into me. A disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. So we are to learn to live life like Jesus, but these are the things that we do in order to do that. To be a disciple of Jesus, we must deny ourselves, take up our crosses, and follow him. We must allow Jesus to shape every single aspect of our lives. There can be no corner in our hearts that he does not have control over. Now in verse 35, Jesus says, whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the sake of the gospel will save it. This gospel referring to Jesus' virgin birth, his sinless life, his death on a cross, his resurrection, his ascension to heaven, and his sending of the Holy Spirit. Now, at this point in the story, only two of those things have happened, but he's referring to all of it. That is what we say, that is what we mean when we say the gospel. And Jesus is saying that for those who expect to be his followers, we must expect to lose our life. Now, the wording here can refer to our life literally, and a lot of early disciples have seen that, but it also means our souls, our minds, and our spirits, lose them into him. Now, for those of us who are followers of Jesus, we know that when we lose ourselves, we gain everything in Christ, and it is beautiful, but it is not easy to do. We must give Jesus our preferences. We have to give him our habits, our likes and our dislikes. We have to give him our hopes and our dreams. And there can be no corner of our hearts, minds, or our bodies that he does not have. And like we've said, this is a hard thing to do. But this is the taking up of the cross that Jesus refers to as his disciples. We take up our cross. It is also God's definition of the good life, that this is how we live in his spirit, that this is how we live with a kingdom mindset here on this planet. So, as followers of Jesus, we can expect these things, pain and hardship, but we can also expect a life filled full of the Spirit. We can also expect a life of true rest by taking on his yoke and living a life like he would have lived if he lived in the 21st century. We have gained Christ in this life when we follow him, that we are able to live an everlasting, kingdom-minded life now on this planet. And this is not, this losing of ourselves, it is not an emptying for the sake of being empty, like Buddhists would teach, but this is creating a space in us for a holy infilling of the Spirit.
Yeah, we're not trying to escape this life. We're trying to experience a full and abundant life. And that's what God wants for us. And a rest can sometimes lead to escapism. That's not what we want. We don't want to escape what God has, because life is hard, and it's hard to find rest. But God wants our obedience and our rest. Josh said we've been on this journey for about 2 years, and we had a baby in the middle of all that, and it's hard to rest when you're not sleeping. But God is talking about a different kind of rest. Yes, you need to care for your body. Yes, you need to get good rest. I'm sure this sweet mama would agree. Rest is great. Sleep would be awesome. Our son was not a good sleeper for a long time. He is now. Thank you, Lord. But God is talking about a kind of soul rest, a kind of restoration. In Psalm 23, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Sometimes I feel like I'm making Silas lie down for a nap. And when he's overtired and when we're burnt out and we're not regularly getting rest, sometimes rest can feel painful of like, but I have this and this and this and this to do, and this person told me to call them back, and my kid needs this, and but if we set aside time where we're like, nope, we're going to guard this, it can wait. It can wait. it can wait. It's hard because there are still diapers to change, even on the Sabbath. There are still snacks to be made on the Sabbath. But when it comes to things that aren't a necessity, they don't need to get done, that I could throw in another load of laundry before tomorrow and set us up for the week. Nope, we're going to structure our week and prioritize our week in a way that we're making sure that we're getting rest. And it's going to cost something. Jesus said, to lose yourself is to gain everything. And it's going to cost something, and it's hard. We have no way arrived. We are learning. We are learning to be like Jesus. We are learning to follow him in the way that he lived his life, and we want to do that, and we want to honor him in that. But it's hard. I will be just completely frank with you. There are just things that need to get done. And I'm sure as our children grow that it will look different in every season. But if we teach our kids how to rest and that they are not what they do, but they are who God has called them to be, and that being with him is the top priority, we will set them up for success much better. Later in the text it says, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? For your kids, for your grandkids, for yourself, what good would it be if, yes, we did, we signed up for yet one more sport or one more activity, but, and then maybe they get the scholarship, maybe they don't, but what good will it do if they lose their soul, if they don't know God and know him intimately? And so we just want that to be the reflection in our life. It's hard, and we fully admit that. But we, as a family, have signed up to just saying yes to Jesus and to continue to be obedient to what he has called us to do. And right now, that in that season, it looks like saying goodbye to our family and friends. We're both from Pittsburgh. We love Pittsburgh. I wouldn't leave if God didn't tell me to. We genuinely, we love the city, we love our church, we love being close to our family and friends, especially with our little ones, but God has asked us to go, and so we are part of a church planning team that will be planning a church in Liverpool, Lord willing, in summer of 2025. This little one has to arrive, and we have to get his or her passport and get over there, but yes, pray for us. And so our hope is to be there in June of 2025, but our career missionaries that we're working with, they were previously church planners in Czech Republic and handed off a really healthy church to Czech pastors in 2020. They're now continuing to plant churches across Europe, and that was part of our call, was to say yes and to partner with them in that, to learn from them and how to do this and do this well. So we are joined by three other families, one family and two singles, who will also be a part of our team to do discipleship and to do addiction recovery and lots of just wonderful things that we just are hoping and praying and believing. And our career missionaries have said the harvest is plentiful and they are willing, but there are not enough people to tell them. So come, get here as fast as you can. So that's what we're trying to do. we are believing in God's timing, but Liverpool is hungry and they are ready, and they are, apparently they've not met any Americans. They've been there for 2 months. They've not met a single American, so people really apparently like to talk to them. They'll just ask them about their accent. So the doors are just flinging wide for relationship, and so we are just so excited. So at first we'll be planning in a university campus. We've already gotten approval for that. And then hopefully long-term down the road, we'll have a facility that'll function both as a coffee shop and a church on Sundays. So throughout the week, it can be a place where people can come and develop relationships. We'll have open mic nights, Liverpool, home of the Beatles, you know. That is very musical city, very musical city. So we're hoping to reach people in that way as well. We want to become all things to all people so that Christ might be glorified. And that's our hope and our prayer for this time.
And so in order to do that, we need your help. We need your financial partnership, and we need your support in prayer. I hope that as a room full of followers of Jesus, that we know that prayer changes the world around us. been, like Olivia has said, been a Christian my whole life, and not until we were sitting in the NICU with our son did I feel for the very first time physically the effects that prayer has on a physical place. We were sitting in that room and surrounded by prayer from our friends and our family and our faith community, and very, very grateful for that. And so we ask that you would please be praying for us. We ask also that you would partner with us financially. We can't do this unless we are sent. And that is where we need help. If you want to go to the next slide, and then again, and then again. I wasn't given the cues. That's my bad. One more time. There we go. There we are. I will not be offended if you take your phone out right now and you scan that, but you can also come back to our table. We have our prayer cards, and they have that QR code on the back. That is how you can sign up for our newsletter to stay updated with what we're doing and where we're at. It is also where you can give a one-time gift or support us in monthly support. This is the charge of the local church to change the world for Jesus. And this is why we come and we do this, is so that we can ask for your help. And please, if you are feeling right now the Lord tell you to support us, please come talk to us at our table, because we want to know and be known. We want to know your faces so that when we pray for you, we know you, and the same thing, so that when you pray for us, you know us. So please come grab a prayer card and come talk to us. We are very grateful that you listened to us this morning. The Lord bless you. Pastor Danny, if you want to come on back.
Wanted to pray for them, if you would join me. We're excited for what they have in store for them. And can you just feel the way they love? I think that's the first thing people are going to encounter, is the way they love. You just see it on their faces, that they care for people, and love's the way in, right? Okay, so will you raise your hands towards them? Lord, we thank you for Joshua and Olivia, and we thank you for the call that you've placed on their lives. And I ask, Lord, that you would, again, prepare their way, that you would open doors there. They're not planning on being there till around June, Lord, of next year. And I ask that while they're waiting, while they're preparing, that you would work in people's hearts that they're going to encounter, Lord. You know with your foreknowledge the people they're going to encounter and the people that they're going to reach out to. And I ask, Lord, that you would just line things up so that they can step into a harvest and that they could be used by you to reach many. And I ask, Lord, that you would give them physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual strength, that you would help them, Lord, as they encounter challenges and obstacles and struggles, that you would be there to give them wisdom, that you would reveal your will and purpose to them, and that you would help them to know that you have them in your hands. And I ask that you would protect them, that you would keep them safe, and that you would let your anointing be upon them, that you would provide for every single need that they have need of, that you would raise the financial support that they need, that they can get there and continue to raise that so they can do the work that's there in front of them. Lord, advance your kingdom. I ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen.